and women were at cross purposes. Shortly after the vibrator episode, Dinah's mother had a mild heart attack and suddenly became terrified that she was going to die. Maybe it had never occurred to her before, but now she was obsessed. She sank into a deep depression and began to drink heavily. "Don't listen to your old mother," she would wail. "Oh, Dinah, Dinah, life is so short. Look at me, I've hardly done anything. I've only been with two men. I've never lived anywhere but here in the valley. Dinah, you've got to get more out of your life than I have. You shouldn't be a virgin when you get married. What's the point? Your father left me anyway. So if there's a boy that you want to go to bed with, you just go right ahead. I'll arrange for birth control." She took a dramatic gulp of vodka. Dinah was alarmed. She appealed to her mother's former sense of chastity. "Ma, whoa, wait, I haven't said that I want to. I'm fine like I am. I refuse to let you have a life like mine. What's the point? I had a life like mine and look at me. I've seen you looking at that boy Mickey in your jazz class. I could arrange for the two of you to have sex and I could be there to supervise." Dinah ran upstairs to her room. Her mother had no recollection of the conversation the next day. It was the first of a series of sexual discussions they would have while her mother was in a complete blackout. This is why Dinah is bad with men. Well, one of the reasons anyway. When she was very little, about two, her father went away. She hardly ever saw him after that, maybe once a year. See, he and her mom didn't get along, and besides, he'd moved far away. Anyway, after he left, she waited for him to come back. She made herself wonderful for his return. And whenever she saw him on his once-a-year visits, she'd put on her best behavior so he'd love her. Because she hardly ever saw him, he grew daily in her mind, a paternal tumor on her imagination. She loved, she worshipped, the father she made up in her mind. The father she created in fantasy. The person she created herself to be so that she should be good enough for him, too good for him when he finally came back. That father and the person she became for him grew more intricate with each passing day till finally she had created two monsters, the father she never had and the daughter he should never have left. So this is where the bad thing with men happens. She puts on her best behavior whenever they visit so they'll love her. And she can't possibly know who they are for all that she needs them to be, all that she imagines they are in their absence. In a nutshell, monsters, these strangers that are her father. And if they're not leaving, she'll push them, so she can try to get them to return. And if they're not leaving, she'll leave, because she doesn't know how to be with them for long. She loves them until they love her. She yearns. This is why Dinah is bad with men. The first time Dinah met Rudy was at her boss Charlotte's 55th birthday party, about a month after she began working on Heart's Desire, a new soap opera that had just started the year before in New York. "Don't leave me," Dinah said, clutching Connie's arm as they stepped off the elevator and into the hall. Connie Sorkin was 37 years old and married to her second husband with one grown son. She was an abrupt, loyal woman who was good at her job and talked eternally about her menstrual problems. The frantic murmur of a party in full swing threatened from beyond the door. Connie looked at Dinah in amusement. "This is so sudden," she said, ringing the doorbell. "We hardly know each other." "Compared to the nobody at all that I'll know at this party, you're my best friend," said Dinah. "You've only worked with me a month." "Anyway, believe me, there's not much to these guys," Connie continued as the door was opened. "1 month is about all you need to really fathom their depth." They entered the party and were swallowed up in the festive crowd. Connie and Dinah slowly made their way through the merrymakers toward Charlotte and the bar. Dinah decided halfway to the bar that she was going to drink. She had never been a good drinker, tending to get drunk too quickly, and had occasionally even been known to black out, which was a tragedy considering her fondness for blunting and blurring. But she would fall back on drinking for certain emergencies on the off chance that this time it would be different. And this party, filled to the limit with people she didn't know, seemed to her to be definitely on the emergency side. Charlotte, their producer, was talking in an animated way to a slight, dark man.